Let us pray. Dear Lord, let us pray as Simon says his sermon. May we pray that the Holy Spirit is with us and helps the people who need comforting and people who really need some help. May we pray as we are listening to the sermon and we think about what Simon says about resurrection and let it change us. Jesus died on the cross for all of us, to wash away all of our sin. He is risen. Death could not hold him. Rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Give this guy a round of applause. Isn't that great? Adam, you could write... Oh, sorry. I am so sorry. I feel so awful. Are we doing that? I'm being sarcastic. I feel okay. Anyway, thank you, mate. Fantastic. You can write my prayers in future, mate. Very good. Does anyone know how to pray? I was going to say, does anyone know how to pray for healing for those things? But, boy, oh boy. I'm glad I didn't baptize anyone tonight. I would have drowned somebody. Okay, there we go. Dear, dear, boy, that's the opposite of a Midas touch. It's the touch of death.
You safe?
I'm safe.
Right.
Okay. That's heavy stuff. Sorry about that, everybody. Oh, here. I brought my own bin. There we go. Brilliant. Stay there. I've broke that too. Sick. There you go. Hold on. Stay there. There we go. Okay. Very good. Hello, everybody. Lovely to see you all. Happy Easter. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah. Okay. There we go. Folks, great to be with you. And what an absolutely amazing thing to see these two being baptized tonight. And I love the way, you know, they read it so clearly, didn't they? The piece of paper that Paul gave them. I have the two greatest youth workers in the world. Anyway, there we go. Never mention ministers. I have to put yous over that. Right, guys. I want to speak to you about resurrection tonight. But before I do that, I think I've got a presentation coming to you, guys. Hopefully. I don't? Oh, dear. Right, forget presentation. I've got a bin. Anyway. Okay, I want to tell you about a thing called Summer Madness. Who's been at Summer Madness in their life? Okay, right, quite a few people. Summer Madness is kind of like a Christian festival. It's happened in various places across Northern Ireland. But there was one year, there was a speaker, right, called Phil Genado, right? You thought my name was strange. Phil Genado. And he was a really, you know, this won't take much imagination, as we saw Carlton here a few minutes ago, but he's a really good-looking guy, all right? Young, you know, well-built, really, really, really good physique, okay? All of that sort of stuff. And he was on the stage, and he shared with the conference, and there's, you know, I don't know, thousands of people there or whatever, that he had a terminal illness, right? And it was kind of like nobody had mentioned this. This was the speaker for the week. No one had mentioned this. And I'd never heard of his illness, right? But basically the situation was this. He literally lived in expectation that every day could be his last, okay? He had this illness, and he put it down to his reason for coming to know Jesus because he was so keenly aware of death, okay? Because he was terminally ill. He treated his family in a particular way every day because he knew he was right at the end of his life, okay? All of these things, right? And I'd never heard, have you any of you heard of it? It was EDS was the name of his condition. Does anyone know this? There's nurses and all that, right? And he went on about this for ages. And honestly, my heart was broken. Like, I was just like, oh, flip, this is terrible. Until he eventually broke it to us that we all have this disease, okay? And it stands for everybody dies sometime. And I have to say, I felt a bit cheated because I was feeling quite emotional, and that doesn't happen to me very often. Okay, but everybody dies sometimes. And that is true, isn't it? Everybody dies sometime. And if I had a slide right now, I would show you that the second law of thermodynamics, I bet you've never heard that on an Easter Sunday before. The second law of thermodynamics, does anyone know what it is? Entropy, okay? And entropy is this, right? If a thing anything in the universe is left to its own devices, it is inevitably moving towards disorder and decay. You got it? That's the second law of thermodynamics, entropy. Everything in the universe, if left to its own devices, is moving towards disorder and decay. So food rots, yeah? Cars rust. People inevitably move towards death, okay? Now, I told you this was going to be an encouraging message tonight, okay? It does get slightly more encouraging than this, but that is true. That is entropy. Everybody dies sometimes. We're all on that road from the moment we're born. And in fact, the Bible says that every one of our days is numbered, and we need to be aware of that. And I mean, the sort of wee metaphor I wanted to use tonight was this balloon. Oh my goodness, smoke's coming out of this. Must have been in my house. Okay. So, you know, when we take our first breath, we have breath in us. But, you know, the breath does leave us at one stage. That's just reality. It leaves us. And there's a story in the Bible that we had Sophie read to us a few minutes ago. And it's a story of a man called Lazarus. Now, remember the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, is that if left to its own devices, everything is inevitably moving towards disorder and decay. And Lazarus was sick. And Mary and Martha, his sisters, didn't want to leave him to his own devices. So they did something very intelligent, okay? They called Jesus. They called for Jesus because they didn't want to leave him to his own devices. They called Jesus. And they thought if Jesus arrived in time, it would stop him inevitably moving towards disorder and decay. They thought that is what would happen. And they believed, because they had seen it, they believed that he could heal. They really did believe it. But unfortunately, I've got really bad news from the story. Jesus took ages to arrive. And Lazarus passed away. Excuse me. Lazarus passed away. And they put him in a tomb. Okay? Now, this is not a tomb. This is a bin. But it's sort of metaphorical, if you will. They put him in a tomb. Jesus was late. And when Jesus eventually arrives, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now, there's lots of people back in those days believed something. They believed that after somebody died, their kind of spirit or their soul kind of hung around the body for 3 days. That's what kind of Hebrew people believed. But this was now 4 days. Now, that's not true, but that's what they believed. This is now 4 days. And Jesus arrives. He's so late. And he meets these two grieving sisters, Mary and Martha. And, you know, what does he say to them about the fact that they have been deflated, the fact that their beloved brother has died? He says this to them. He says, your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Now, it's really interesting because what Martha says, if I can just find it, she says this in verse 24 of John 11. She says this, Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So she really did believe in a sort of afterlife that Lazarus was going to be raised again. Now, there's something about this. We all believe, or most people believe, we'll believe in miracles yesterday. As in, we'll believe that Jesus did all these wonderful things 2,000 years ago. And we will sort of believe miracles tomorrow. Like, we'll believe that he can do something in the future, you know, in the new heaven and the new earth or whatever. But what he's saying is, your brother will rise again. She says, I believe it yesterday and I believe it tomorrow, but I don't believe it today. And Jesus says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will or I did. I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus is going to do something extraordinary here. So he says to them, I want you to take away the stone. I want you to take away the stone. And you know what Martha says? Because Martha, remember, you know, she always cleans. Every time you see her in the Bible, she's cleaning. just like me. She says, no, 4 days. She says, it stinketh. Now, that's King James language for you. It stinketh, which you can use in your everyday life now. Don't go to that fridge. It stinketh, okay? She says, it stinketh. Don't open it. And Jesus isn't willing to take that. Because he tells her, remove the stone. Remove the stone. Martha says, it stinketh. He says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? God comes into lives. And it doesn't matter whether they're lovely and polished. I don't know what Scott and Jovi's life is. I know what their background is. Maybe they've got like a sort of history of crime or something that I don't know about. Okay? But whatever, Jesus will come into any sort of life. And he'll move in any sort of life, even if our life stinketh. He really will. And Jesus says, take away the stone, even though she's worried it stinketh. And then Jesus does something incredible, as I switch my phone to silent. Jesus does something incredible. He shouts something. He shouts, Jovi. He shouts, Scott. He shouts, Lazarus. Now, an early church historian called Augustine, he says that the reason why Jesus shouted by name is if he just said, come out, then all the dead bodies in the grave would have come out and it would have been a big problem. So he called him by name. He said, Augustine, come out. And Augustine does come out. And look at this deflated balloon. It has somehow magically become inflated here. Look at it. Wow. Okay. And Lazarus comes out. But Jesus sees him coming out. And the problem is that when they wrapped up dead bodies in biblical times, they used 100-pound weight bandages. Okay? So Lazarus, the only way he could have possibly come out, and you think about this dramatic, beautiful moment, the only way Lazarus could have come out was like this. You know, that's the only way he could have possibly come out. His head would have been really, 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 really wide with all the bandages around his face. So what does Jesus say? He says, take off the grave clothes. Take off the grave clothes. And that is what they do. And something awesome happens. Lazarus, whoa, ho, 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 rises. And look at him. He's happy. See him? Wee hard eyes. Lazarus rises when they take off the grave clothes. Incredible story, isn't it? Isn't it? Do you believe it? You believe it yesterday? You believe it tomorrow? Do you believe it today? Do you believe it today? Now, the thing about this story is there's a wee moment in it where we learn whose benefit this whole miracle is for. Whose benefit do you think it's for? Lazarus? No! Okay, because think about this, right? Lazarus dies. What do we believe about death? We believe the people that love Jesus, where do they go when they die? You should know the answer to this one. This is not one of the hard ones. Asher? Heaven. Now, is heaven sort of okay, not too bad? No. It's a far better place. It's an amazing place. Now, think about it. Lazarus died 4 days ago. He has now got himself a nice wee crib in heaven. All right? He is loving life, walking down golden streets and things. He's thinking, this is so good. That old arthritic body of mine down on earth. I'm so glad to see the back of it. Delighted. And suddenly, he's just sort of settling into heaven. I don't know what he's doing. Having some sort of ice cream or something, maybe. Okay, and suddenly, he gets sucked back down into that old dodgy body. Wrapped up like a mummy, hopping around the place. Is it for his benefit? And what does he know he's going to have to do all over again? Die again? Is it for his benefit? No. Now, whose benefit is it for? Well, we see it here. After Martha says, oh, don't do this, it stinketh. And after Jesus says, did I not tell you if you believed you would see the glory of God? it says they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Okay, so he's already been heard. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they might believe that you sent me. So who's it for the benefit of? The crowd. That's whose benefit it is for. You know, Lazarus was in heaven. He got sucked back down. It's not for his benefit. It's for their benefit. And why is it for their benefit? Because they will understand the mission of Jesus. They will understand the mission of Jesus. Now, what is all this about? Well, it's about this. It's a pointer towards another tomb. It's a pointer towards what Jesus is going to do. It's a pointer towards an empty tomb, but it's also a pointer for us towards something about our own lives. You see, I think it's Colossians chapter 2. It says that we were dead in our sins. So we were like Lazarus, stuck in that tomb. We were dead in our sins. And Jesus called us out of that tomb. It's getting away from me. I tell you, this talk's going really well. We are dead in our sins. And Jovi and Scott have been called out by Jesus. And then Jesus has taken away their sin by the cross. And because he's taken away their sin, they're now doing this symbol of baptism, which is that we die to our sins so that we can rise to eternal life. And folks, here's the amazing thing. That offer is here for every single person. You know, if we don't respond to Jesus, we will remain in a grave. If we don't respond to Jesus, our destination is death. But if we do respond to him, if we do trust in him, if we do what Scott and Jovi are talking about tonight on that video, then we too can rise. Folks, this is why the gospel is such good news. Because death no longer has a sting for those in Christ Jesus. We were dead in our sins, but God made us alive in Christ. And folks, let me tell you, if you're a person that hasn't responded to Jesus, there is nothing standing in your way this evening. You know, the enemy will say that those grave clothes, you're stinking. You're stinking. You could never be with Jesus. But Jesus says, I went to that grave for you. I went into the grave to take you out of it. I went in to get you out. And you can be free indeed. Can we stand together? I'll leave my balloon here. And my bin here, and my jumper here. Try not to break anything. Let's just have a moment before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we want to acknowledge that our lives stinketh. Lord, that Scott and Jovi's life stinks. That Simon's life stinketh. That Carlton and Emma and everyone here, our lives stinketh. They're not perfect enough for you. Not even one of our lives is perfect enough for you. But Father, we thank you that even though we were dead in our sins, you made us alive in Jesus. Father, we thank you that there is nobody here that can't embrace that fullness of life this very night. So, Lord God, we thank you for these two young people that have given their lives to you and they've went into the water to say it. We pray that we would be inspired by them tonight, that if any of us have not yet responded to that offer of life and that offer of Jesus coming into the grave to take us out, that we would do so this very evening. That we would simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. I accept that you died on the cross for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I might live for you forevermore.
And Lord God, we thank you that that is just a prayer away for us to be alive in Jesus. Father, would you just bless us now as we worship you one more time, as we lift up our voices on this Easter day to you who is worthy of praise. And Father, we want to give you all the honor, the praise, and the renown now. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.